started.
Oh, is this on the screen?
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love, mercy, and grace. Thank you for all that you have done in our lives. Thank you for what you will do very soon. We thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for enforcing your will over our lives and situations. Thank you, Lord, for making all things fall in place in our favor. Thank you, Lord, for your presence that is established in our lives and environment. Thank you for how you have defended us in those areas we can't defend ourselves. Thank you for blessings you have showered upon us, physical blessings, spiritual blessings you have poured out upon us. Thank you for the grace to know you as you really are. Thank you for the grace to grow in the knowledge of you. Thank you for the grace to understand your ways, your truths. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the grace to be rooted in the light. Thank you for not allowing the darkness to deceive us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, because we are not confused. We are not misled. You have kept us strong in the faith. You have kept us strong in the truth. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for how you always open our hearts and minds to see new things every time we come together for Bible study class. Thank you because today you will show us even greater things from your word. Thank you, Lord, because as you open our eyes to see truths in you, truths in your kingdom, we would be transformed by these revelations. Thank you, Father. I ask, O Lord, that you have your way in this meeting. Let everyone hear from you. Let everyone learn from you. Let every soul be edified. And let your name alone be glorified. Thank you for that, because we know you shall do beyond our expectations. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. And I believe that you will be blessed through this teaching. Amen. Yeah, we will continue from where we stopped during the last class. Remember that we are still dealing with the reasons for fellowship. Yeah, And the broad theme or the broad topic was the need for believers' fellowship. Yeah, we are still dealing with the reasons for fellowship, and that is point two. And point two here says edification and inspiration. Edification and inspiration, that is one of the reasons for fellowship. Then B, point 2B, is reading the word together. Reading the word together. Yeah, that is what we'll be looking at this evening. Reading the word together as one of the reasons for fellowship. Now, let's look at the book of Acts. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, verse 30 to 31. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, verse 30 to 31. Yeah, open your Bibles to that, please. Yeah. I read, so when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. Yeah, I'll read it again. Acts chapter 15, verse 13 and 31. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. Yeah, you can see that reading the Word of God together gives consolation. In this passage that I've just read, the apostles had a meeting. Yeah, the apostles had a meeting and they concluded, if you read verse 29, let me read from verse 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. And verse 29 says, that ye abstain from meat offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fear ye well. So the apostles had meetings together, and they concluded on that point that the brethren in Antioch should abstain from meat offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if they keep themselves, they would do well. Yeah, and when the believers had that, had the epistle, because they wrote these things in the letter and delivered it to the apostles who were sent to the Gentiles. And you know, Paul and Barnabas were sent to the Gentiles. So the apostles who were given these instructions were those ones that followed Jesus, the 12. Yeah, of course, later Judas was those apostles that were chosen by Christ himself when he was physically alive in the earth. So those were the ones who had what the Lord was doing among the Gentiles, and they felt like the Gentiles need to be guided as concerning the matters of the Christian faith. Yeah, and they told them that if the Gentiles, which were the people of Antioch, if they can abstain from meat offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled, yeah, you know, all of that, that if they can do those instructions, that they would do well. Now, my point is not really in what happened in that passage. I mean, what the apostles said should be delivered to the people in Antioch. Yeah, but my point is in the fact that whenever believers read the Word of God together, there is strength, there is comfort, there is joy, there is peace, there is consolation. Yeah, so, and we should not just read the Word of God as though we are reading a letter somebody wrote. We should read the Word of God as though we are being taught by the Lord. Yeah, because the Bible is the Word of God. Yeah, the Bible is the Word of God. And God wants us to obey all that the Bible teaches. Yeah, not misinterpreting the Bible as some people do. They try to use the Bible to back up their selfish ambitions and selfish interests. They try to use the Bible to back up their wickedness, yeah, and disobedience. That is not how we should read the Bible. We should read the Bible with an open mind. We should read the Bible with a heart that is teachable, with a heart that is humble, with a heart that wants to learn something from the Lord. And not only that, we should read the Bible with a heart that is willing to do what the Bible says. And if we read the scriptures like that, we are going to experience transformation. Because the Word of God has in it a great transforming power. A great transforming power. So if we read the scriptures and we believe the scripture as a message from God, and then we obey the scripture, we practice it, we do it as it is, not as you think it is, but as it really is, then we will see the scripture change our lives. Yeah, it would change our attitude. It would change our character. It would change our mindset. It would deliver us. It would heal us. Yeah, if we read the Bible like that. Now, in the scripture I read, the people were consoled. Yeah, because they were aware that the believers were aware that there was a meeting of the apostles as concerning how the Gentiles should worship God. Yeah, because when Jesus came to the Jews, he didn't go to the Gentiles. He went only to the Jews. So now, Jesus gave the commandment that they should go into all the world and preach the gospel. So eventually some of the apostles went to the Gentiles. Of course, you know, Apostle Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles, including Barnabas, Silas, and some others. Yeah, they went to the Gentiles. So they were all eager to hear what was the outcome of that meeting. Yeah. So when they eventually got the letter, and they heard what was the conclusion of the apostles in Jerusalem. Yeah, what was the conclusion of the discussion or of the meeting they had? So when they had the conclusion, the message, they were consoled. Yeah, because they were worried that we don't want these people to impose some Jewish traditions and Jewish laws on us because we are Gentiles, because we were not Jews. So they were worried that they might be saying, or they might told them to do certain things they don't have the grace and ability to do. But when the apostles came, which was the apostles to the Gentiles, which was Barnabas and Paul, when they came with that good news that this is what the apostles in Jerusalem said, they said they are not going to place so much burden on you. All you need to do is just to abstain from food offered to idols, from blood of animals, from fornication and all of that, which was in verse 29 of Acts chapter 15. So they were consoled, they were happy. Yeah, they were joyful. So what can we learn from that? Yeah, we can learn that we should read the Bible with eagerness. Now, not as a letter sent from somebody somewhere, but as instructions and messages sent from God. Yeah, because in that passage, they were reading an epistle from other apostles. And of course, they knew God was with them, and God must have given them the instructions they wrote in the letter. Yeah. But today, if you are going to read the Bible, you don't need to read it as though you are reading a letter from somebody somewhere. You read it as though you are getting messages from God. You are getting truths from God, instructions from God, and that these instructions, they are important to your destiny. Yeah, that your life depends on it. Your life depends on obeying it, practicing it. Yeah, so if we read the Bible like that, with so much eagerness to learn from God, then we will see the Holy Spirit open our eyes to many things in the scriptures. Yeah, many Christians have the problem of self-interpretation of the Bible. Yeah, many Christians have the problem of interpreting the Bible to suit themselves. Not interpreting it as it is, not seeing the Bible as it is, but trying to use the Bible to suit themselves. And that is why we have a lot of false doctrines, false teachings, yeah, and false churches and false ministers. Yeah, because these are men who have their own ways, or who have chosen to follow their own ways, who have their own selfish motives, selfish desires, selfish interests, and they are now looking for scriptures to suit their selfish desires and motives. So that is the origin of most false doctrines, false teachings. Yeah. Yeah, and many believers fall into that category. Yeah, many believers fall into that category of self-interpretation of the Bible. They interpret it based on their selfish motives. They do not read the Bible as it is to get the message God has put in it. Yeah. So you must be very careful about this. There was a well-known preacher that made a confession, and he said for over 30 years he has been doing ministry, he has not really been following the Bible as it is. Yeah, he said he has just been using the Bible to teach certain things he think is true. Yeah, but he has not really been following the Bible as it is. So he has not allowing the Holy Spirit to uncover the truth in the Bible to him. Yeah, and he began to confess. So he said it was after 30 years God now convicted him of that sin, that all you have been doing has been your own thing. I mean, God was telling him that all that he has been doing in the ministry has been his own thing. He has not actually started doing God's work. Yeah, because he has just been using the Bible to teach and to preach certain doctrines that are man-made doctrines, man-made traditions. Yeah, and a lot of preachers are doing that today. So that there is this preconceived interpretation we all have in mind about what the Bible is saying. So we try to use the Bible to back up those ideas and opinions in our minds. So instead of reading the Bible like a child that knows nothing, I say, Holy Spirit, I want to learn. Reveal to me your truths as I read the Bible. So if we can read the Bible with that sincere mind, that humble childlike mind, we will see the Spirit of God show us a lot from the Bible, and you'll be surprised that you'll be surprised and you'll be asking yourself, is it not the Bible I have been reading all these years? Yeah, because God will open your eyes to see new things, and you feel like, so this thing has been in the Bible all these years and I couldn't see it. Yeah, it is because you read the Bible with the right heart. But there are many Christians out there who are reading the Bible with the wrong heart. And that is why they can't be delivered from their deception. They can't be delivered from their darkness and from the lies they have believed, because they don't want to be delivered. So they just feel like Christianity is like this. So everyone already have a pattern of what Christianity looks like. So they feel like Christianity is like this. In Christianity, we do this, we do that. Yeah, so, and I have to get scriptures to support my own view of how Christianity is. Yeah, and that is an error. Yeah, no one has a view of how Christianity is. Nobody knows how Christianity is. It's like trying to say you know how the kingdom of God is, or you know how God really is in details. Nobody knows. So that is why we must let Him teach us the scriptures. We must let Him expose to us His truths from the scriptures. Not that you feel like you already know everything. Yeah, it's going to lead you into deep darkness. Yeah, to think that you already know everything the Bible says. Yeah, or everything the Bible means. Yeah. May the Lord help you to have the right heart toward studying the Bible. In Jesus' name. Amen. So like I had said, number one, read the Bible with expectation to receive something new from the Lord. As those brethren in Antioch were expectant to receive that epistle. And also, don't give any private interpretation to the Bible. Don't give any self or selfish or self-centered interpretation to the Bible. Yeah, the Word of God is not for private interpretation. Yeah, the Word of God is to be interpreted as it is. Yeah, as it is. Not as you feel it is, but as it really is. Yeah. Yeah, that is how the Word of God should be interpreted. May God give you wisdom. Now, let's continue. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Verse 13. I read, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Yeah, this was a letter of Apostle Paul to Timothy. He said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Yeah, let me read from another translation. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. It says, until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers, and teaching them. This is New Living Translation. Apostle Paul was saying, until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers, and teaching them. You know that we are still talking about reasons for believers' fellowship, why we meet together as believers. And one of the reasons is to read the scriptures together, or to have the scriptures read to us. And not only that, to have us being encouraged by the leaders. Yeah, because here Timothy was to encourage the believers and to teach them from the same scriptures he would read to them. Yeah, so if you are passionate as a Christian to grow in the knowledge of God, to know the Lord, very, very closely, then you should be very passionate in attending church meetings where the Word of God would be well explained, well taught, without errors. Yeah, without confusion. Yeah, you should be passionate to be part of such meetings. Yeah, some Christians, they only go to church on Sunday. Weekly Bible study, you won't see them. Even the Sunday school classes, the class session that some churches do before the main worship service, you won't see them too. Yeah, so such believers, they cannot grow spiritually because they do not give attention to the Word of God. Their focus is not on the Word of God, on the scriptures. Yeah, knowing the scriptures is a gate to knowing God. Knowing the Word of God is a gate to knowing God. So meaning that is a portal to knowing God. It's like the entrance to knowing God. Yeah, and even the angels, they walk all the time with the Word of God. Yeah, one of the ways to engage angelic interventions is through the Word of God, through the Bible. So if you have a Bible, which I believe many of you have, In fact, today is on the phones we use. It's on our Android phones, in browsing phones. Yeah, that Bible that you have in your room is so powerful to get all the angels in heaven fight your battles. Because the angels, they respond to the word of God. There are some scriptures, there are some scriptures in the Bible, some chapters, some books, that if you can read it for some number of times, just open them and be reading them out loud, that night, angels will rise to fight your battles. Mighty angels will rise to fight your battles because you declared the word of God verbally with faith. Yeah, so the word of God is like a gate to heaven. It's like a portal to knowing God. Like, it's the entrance point. Fellowshipping with the word of God is like you are walking through a door to commune with the Father, with your Father, your God. Yeah, so that is why to love God is to love His Word. To know God is to know His Word. Yeah, so if there is any opportunity for you to understand the Bible very well, a Christian, a wise Christian, will not joke with such opportunity. If there is any opportunity that will make you have the scriptures explained to you very well in simple terms, that will add to your knowledge and understanding, then you must embrace such opportunity. You must. You know, sometimes after doing some teachings, I will be expecting that some people will ask questions. But to my surprise, nobody will ask questions. So I will be like, is it that they don't want to know what I know? Yeah, because one of the ways to know what your teacher or your leader knows is to ask him questions. Just as the disciples asked Jesus so many questions, which led to some revelations we have in the Bible today, because the disciples asked questions. Yeah, so if there's any opportunity, if God puts you in a ministry that is full of people who know the word of God, and then you just sit down, you are not asking questions, you are not eager to know things about the kingdom of God, then you are missing a lot. You are losing a lot. Yeah, because you might not learn these things forever, till eternity, if you don't make good use of the opportunity you have now. You might not have the opportunity again forever. Yeah, so we need to be very eager to learn the scriptures, to know the scriptures, because in doing so, we will be knowing God as He is. If we can know the scriptures, if we can understand the scriptures as it is, then we will know God as He is. Now, many people think they know God, but they don't really know Him. I used to think I know God. Yeah, but later I realized that I did not even know Him. When He began to open my eyes, I realized that I did not even know Him. Because that was when I now began to know him. So if you really want to know him, then know your Bible. That's the secret. You want to know Jesus. You want to have encounters with Jesus, even with his angels. Then know your Bible. Because that is the gate. That is the portal to knowing God. That is how you begin to know God. I hope you my counsel or my advice in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 13 it says, until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers and teaching them. Focus on teaching the believers. Focus on encouraging the believers. Focus on reading the scriptures to the believer. Another thing I want to mention is if God has helped you to know the truth from his word, then in your sphere of influence, teach what you have known. Everything you have learned from the Lord as you spent time with the scriptures, with the Bible, teach it to people around you, to people that you know they will listen to you. Teach it to them. That was how this ministry started. That was how this ministry started. I just felt like, why can't I use the internet to promote the word of God? Why can't I use the internet to spread the knowledge of the word of God? And I joined some Christian groups on the internet and I began to share with them what I know. And as I was sharing with them, they were like, we have not had anyone share the word of God in this way to us before. So they were like, we want more. We want more. So because what I was sharing was opening their eyes. What I was sharing was blessing them. What I was sharing was changing their lives. So they were so eager to know more. And when I discovered that they were being blessed, I said, okay, then I need to do more. So I began to give more time. Just as Paul was telling Timothy to focus on teaching, to focus on encouraging. So I began to focus on doing more of that. And that was how a lot of people start coming. And that was how we end up forming a group. And that was how we have what we have today. That was how this ministry was birthed. Because what I knew, I decided to share with others. So that is ministry. And that is what Jesus told us to do. Now, if you look at the book of Matthew, now Jesus did not say only the pastors should do this. He didn't say only the prophets, only the apostles should do this. He gave this assignment to every Christian. Now, if you read Matthew chapter I think 28, you will see that Jesus gave everyone this assignment, every one of us. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Okay, let me start from verse 18. Matthew chapter 28, from verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. You see that? It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That is where I'm going. And then in verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Yeah, I just want to bring out those two places. The first in verse 19, he said, teach all nations. Verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe. Now, although in Mark chapter 16, from verse 15, that one talks about preach. Yeah, that one talks about preach. Yeah, it says, let me read Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yeah, but in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and verse 20, it says, teaching them. Yeah, I believe you are saying that every one of us has been called to preach and to teach. Yeah. Though the way we do it might not be the same as in the mechanism by which we do this preaching and teaching might not be the same, but we have to preach and we have to teach. Yeah, and what are you going to preach? The same thing Jesus preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You have to preach repentance. You have to preach salvation. That people should come out of their darkness into the light. You have to preach the good news that God loves the world and he wants to deliver them from the power of sin, which is the first and the most important deliverance. Deliverance from sin. And that is the real salvation. Yeah, so we have to preach this, and then we can now begin to tell them that after you are delivered from sin, God wants to draw you closer to himself. He wants to pour his love on you. He wants you to trust him and then he will take care of you. He wants you to follow him. Yeah. And many things are in the gospel. Many messages, many revelations are inside the gospel. Billions of messages, billions of revelations. I mean billions, because we can't exhaust them. They are inside the gospel. Yeah. So we have to teach and preach what the same truth that have set us free. The same truth that delivered you, go out there and preach it and teach it. Yeah, you don't have to be a pastor to do this. If you don't have the spiritual maturity to disciple those people you have preached to, then you cannot connect them to pastors, to apostles, to prophets, to those that you know, they have the maturity to disciple people, to help them grow in the knowledge of God, and to help them have complete deliverance and complete salvation. Yeah, so that is what you do. But no one is exempted from preaching and teaching. So my question to you is, since you are a Christian, have you learned anything from the Lord? If your answer is yes, then how many people have you taught what you've learned from the Lord? Even your children, do you teach them what you have learned from the Lord? Your friends, have you taught them what you have learned from the Lord? Have you preached to them what you have learned from the Lord? Yeah, this is one of the ways by which you show that you are a Christian. Until you start preaching and teaching, you have not yet proven to heaven that you are a Christian. That's the fact. Yeah, to prove that you are a Christian, you have to publicly preach and teach what you have known in God, or what you have known about God. You have to do that. Yeah, so that's another thing that I have to talk about. You just have to do that. And as a matter of fact, that is how many of you will discover your purpose in life. It is why you are preaching and teaching the gospel. While you are preaching and teaching the word of God, that is how many of you will discover why you are here. Because that is the reason why we are here. Yeah, apart from worshiping God, praising God, the reason why you are here is to preach the gospel, to teach the gospel. Yeah, you have to be involved in it, like actively. You have to be actively involved in it. May the Lord give you grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, and then another thing I discovered is that if you have any spiritual gift, and you have been wondering, when will this gift manifest? Go and preach and teach, or start preaching and teaching. Yeah, then you will see those gifts manifest. Focus on winning souls, then you will see those gifts manifest. Yeah, which of course, when you focus on winning souls, it will lead to intercessions, and it will lead to discipleship, which is thorough teaching people till they are well groomed in the knowledge of God. That is what discipleship is about. Yeah, so let's look at another scripture. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 to 4, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 to 4, and also verse 8. So let us first read verse 1 to 4. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1, it says, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Like, this is the summary. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is have somewhat also to offer. For if he were unheard, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. And then verse 8. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Yeah, so you can see the writer of this book is showing us Jesus as the high priest. Yeah, and that right there in heaven, Jesus is doing ministry, is doing high priest ministry, if I can put it that way. Jesus is standing in the gap for us, for the church, right there in heaven. So what the earthly high priest usually do, which is offering gifts and sacrifices to atone for the sins of the people, is what Jesus did on the cross and what he continued to do right there in heaven. Yeah, he continued to stand in that position of an high priest. Now, if you look at that verse 8, it talks about that he has made a new covenant. And by this new covenant, there's no need. We no longer have need for a physical or earthly high priest. Yeah, so now, what is the message what is the message here the message is that Jesus is in heaven, standing in the gap for us. Now, we also are to stand in the gap for those that have not yet come to know him. Yeah, we have to stand in the gap. So, and we do these by preaching the gospel. Yeah, we do these by preaching the gospel because Jesus already died for these people. He already shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. Yeah, because in those days they kill, you know, ram, lamb, and all of that to atone for sins. But now God gave us a sacrifice that was killed once. Jesus was killed once. And with that blood, he has atoned for the sins of the world. Yeah, so it is your duty to go out there and preach the gospel. So in that way, you are doing what Jesus would have done if you were still on earth. Yeah, you are standing in the gap for souls to come to God. Yeah, so this is what we have been called to do. Every one of us. This is why we are here. Yeah, this is why we are here. This is our destiny, to bring people into the kingdom of God, to bring them into the knowledge of God. I pray that the Lord help you to do this assignment correctly. And mind you, some blessings might not come to you from God if you are not preaching the gospel and teaching the word of God. Some blessings might not come to you from God because it is a sin to not preach and teach the word of God. Yeah. If Jesus commanded us to teach and to preach, so not doing it is a sin. And if you have sinned, then why should you expect that your prayers will be answered? Why should you expect that God will bless you? Yeah. And some people, they don't preach like they know what they are saying. Yeah, because some people can say, Apostle said we should go and preach. So let me just preach because Apostle said that's not it. So when you preach, you are doing it because you believe what you are preaching. Because what you are preaching is the truth, and because it has changed your life. That truth has changed your life. Not that you are still in doubt of what you are preaching about. When you go out with such mindset, you might be defeated by the devil, because preaching and teaching is a battle. Is a battle. There are powers out there that don't want people to believe the truth. Yeah. So if you are not sure of your salvation, you are not sure of the truth you have. Maybe you are still in doubt if the Bible is true or not. You are still in doubt if the Bible works or not. Or you are still in doubt if the Bible is the word of God. Because some people, they think the Bible was just written by some people. Some people say it's white man's book. They say the Bible is white man's book. So, and the white people are trying to use it to enslave us. They say the white people are trying to use the Bible, or they are using the Bible to enslave the blacks. And all those conspiracies about the Bible. Yeah, so if you are not yet sure of the Bible, yeah, then preaching it will not do anything. It won't save souls. It won't save souls. It won't deliver souls. It won't change lives. Yeah, because you are still in doubt of what is written in the Bible, and then you're not preaching what you know is the truth, what has changed your whole life. You're not preaching what you are doing yourself, what you are practicing yourself. Then your preaching and teaching will do nothing. I tell you the truth. It will be powerless. It will be weak. Yeah, why? Because it has not prevailed in you. If the truth you preach has not prevailed in you, has not changed you, then it cannot change others. Yeah, you can write it somewhere or quote it. If the truth you preach or teach has not changed you, has not overcome you, has not prevailed in you, meaning that you are not doing it, you are not practicing it, you have not believed it as it is, then it cannot change any person you preach it to. You can be very smart in preaching. You can have a very sweet mouth, sweet voice. Well, the gospel is not about that you can preach in a sweet way, in an eloquent way. The gospel is not about that. Yeah, until it has worked in your life. If it has not worked in your life, then it cannot work in others' lives. Yeah, that's the truth. Yeah. So Christianity is not a joke. It's a serious thing. Yeah. May the Lord give you grace. So let's move to point C. Or you can call it 2C. We are still under the reasons for fellowship. The reasons for fellowship. Yeah, I know we have already passed 1 hour, so I will just speak briefly, then we will stop. Now, point C says exhortation and instruction. You know, the first reason we talked about was edification and inspiration. The second reason was reading the word together. We fellowship to read the word of God together, or to learn it together, or to study it together. Yeah, and then the third reason is for exhortation and instruction. For exhortation and instruction. Yeah, we have seen what the word exhortation means. It has to do with encouraging. Yeah, it has to do with encouraging others, especially encouraging them in the word of God. Encouraging them in a way that they get comfort, in a way that they are joyful. I mean, in a way that it gives them joy and comfort. Yeah, and exhortation usually is not like preaching. It's similar to preaching, but it's not really like preaching, yeah, or teaching. Exhortation can include preaching and teaching, but it is not as detailed as preaching and teaching. For instance, you can just speak a verse. You can just pick a verse in the scripture, a verse that speaks about a situation somebody is passing through, a verse that speaks about a challenge somebody is going through, and then just send the verse to that person. Maybe you send the verse to that person's WhatsApp, and then you now try to explain the verse as it is related to that person's situation. And that is exhortation. Yeah, like you just tell the person that the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. So trust in the Lord, He will supply your need. Yeah, so those are exhortation, like a kind of a short way of encouraging people using the word of God. Like a short message of encouraging people, a short teaching of encouraging people from the word of God. Yeah, and anybody can do this. Just as anybody can preach and teach, anybody can also do exhortation. Yeah, so for instance, in our prayer sessions, I do a lot of exhortation. Yeah, sometimes I try to make people understand what they are to pray for. Yeah, so that when they pray with understanding, they can see the results of the prayers. Yeah, because understanding will give them faith. And then when they pray with that faith, there will be results. Yeah, so you can do exhortation. When you are speaking to someone over the phone, you can do exhortation. When you're chatting with someone on social media platforms, you can do exhortation. Yeah. You can quote scriptures, you can encourage people. Yeah, that is why we are here. That is what God wants us to do. And then instruction. Yeah, remember that the point is exhortation and instruction. Instruction is some kind of rules or guidance or direction. Yeah, instruction has to do with action. Yeah, some people they don't know what to do. Yeah, but in fellowship they can be instructed either directly or indirectly. Yeah, there are many people that they would tell me that they actually have been asking God to lead them, to guide them on something. But the moment they read some of my teachings, they saw the teaching as an answer to what they have got in secret, because they were confused. They don't know exactly what to do in the situation they found themselves. Yeah, but the moment they read those teachings, it was like an instruction to them. So now they understood what to do at that time. And, you know, that gave them a direction. Yeah. And they were happy because they probably would have taken a wrong decision or make a wrong choice if they had not read those teachings. Yeah, so this is what fellowship does. Yeah, and some people before a prayer session they were confused. But after the prayer session, after they had joined the prayers, they were no longer confused. They now understood what is happening to them, and they now understood how to deal with what is going on in their lives. So this is what fellowship does. Is a place where you get instructed either directly or indirectly as leaders God has chosen as the minister by the Holy Spirit, as the minister through the leading of the Holy Spirit, you get instructed. So it is not all the time that leaders have to prophesy, like you know, call your name and say, come out, you know, this is what I saw, and this is what God wants you to do. It's not all the time leaders have to do that. I mean your pastors or church leaders have to give some personal, direct, or specific prophecies. Yeah, so sometimes while the leader is teaching, you start getting instructed by God. If you're a good listener, yeah, if you follow teachings and preachings, yeah, coming from church leaders that God has placed over your life, you know, you can get instructed as they are preaching. You can get instructed as they are teaching. You can get instructed as they are leading prayers. And you will know that this prayer is for me, is meant for me. Yeah, and this is God instructing me. And then you follow the instructions. So it's not the time instructions will come directly to you during fellowship. Yeah, it's not the time to come directly, but as you focus on what God is doing in that meeting or in that fellowship, you will somehow be instructed and you will know what to do with your life or what to do in the situation you are going through. Yeah. Well, we're going to stop here. We'll continue from this point C next week by God's grace. If you have questions, you can ask on the group platform. Let us pray. King of Israel, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for showing us how important it is for us to have fellowship with one another. Thank you for showing us how we learn, how we would learn during fellowship, how we would get instructed, how we would get encouraged during fellowship. Thank you for showing us that we ourselves can rise for the encouragement of others. We can become instruments by which others can be encouraged. And also we can become instruments by which others can come to the knowledge of you and to repentance and salvation. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I ask that for as many of us here and as many that have heard this teaching, who are making determination in their hearts to practically and actively get involved in preaching, teaching, and encouraging others, I ask that you help them to do this in the name of Jesus. Give them grace to do these assignments successfully in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because I know you shall do beyond our requests. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.